Take your Bibles now, please, and let's turn to Mark chapter 16 for a couple of verses as we think about the missionary obligation of the church. Does the church have an obligation to missions? I say without missions, we have no true church. Any church that is not involved in missions is not a real Bible church. Whatever else they're doing, they may do a lot of good things, but if they're not a mission-minded church, they're not a real church according to the Bible. Mark 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the social gospel." I read that wrong, didn't I? Just see if you were awake. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized." That doesn't mean you have to be baptized to go to heaven, but it means if you're saved, you're not going to have an argument with that. You're going to be willing to be baptized. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "Can I be baptized?" He said, "If you really got saved, first saved, then yes, you can be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." There it is, right there in the Word of God. If they don't believe, they will be damned. That means they'll die and go to hell, right? How real is hell to us today? The longer I live, the more I think about the reality of hell. The more you get closer and closer to death, the more you think about, hey, this thing is real. I'm going to spend somewhere forever. And it's going to have to be heaven or hell. Can you imagine the people right now while we're sitting here in this nice air-conditioned auditorium, sanctuary, on padded pews, with padded backs on the pews, and good lighting and all of that, and we're very comfortable. Some have a few pains, obviously, but compared with the reality of people that are in hell. Can you imagine people being in hell the very moment that they get there, and they're in hell, and they're screaming and crying and hollering, "Oh God, I wish I had gotten saved. Oh God, I wish somebody had told me about Jesus." Can you imagine what it is for people to die and go to hell? I don't think we think about it enough, maybe. You say, "Preacher, that's too morbid for me." Friend, it's Bible. Amen. It's reality. If people do not hear about Christ and they do not receive Christ as their Savior, they're in hell right now. There's a man by the name of Rod Bell that is writing, not Rod Bell, but R-O-B, Rob Bell, who is writing a book, and the book is out and well circulated, and among even some of so-called fundamentalist guys, we can't call them that now, but some of those people, he has written to try to convince people there is no hell. The Hour of Power man said there is no such thing as hell. It's on record. He says there is no such thing as hell. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Friend, that's not true. Amen. That's not biblical. People are dying without Jesus. And they go to hell. And that's so politically incorrect now, even from the pulpit. And I'm not glad that anybody goes to hell. I hope you don't get the wrong idea about that. But they are nevertheless going to hell. And that's what he's talking about. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the condemnation of sin. Saved from judgment. Saved from the wrath of God. Saved from dying and going to hell. It ought to really disturb us to think about people going to hell. Oh, but I'm saved, preacher. My wife's saved, I'm saved, my children are saved, my grandchildren are probably going to be saved. And so as long as we're saved, we're all right, that's all right. No, 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 friend. We've got to have a world vision. We've got to get out of ourselves somehow and let this thing grip our hearts. Let the Spirit of God speak to us. Let the Spirit of God deal with us. Let the Spirit of God move you, and don't even try to get over it. Realize that people are dying and going to hell, and we need to reach them with the gospel. Without missions, we have no true church. Why missions? Our church, Brother Danny, you said you didn't know how much, and I don't know yet what it'll be this year, but probably $250,000 that we will give our church to missions. Why in the world would we, a local church, with as many needs as we have, give that kind of money? Why would we do such a thing? And some people say, hey, you know, we just need to forget about that other stuff and forget about sending that money. Let's keep it here at home. Let's do all these other things. Listen, that would be a terrible attitude, and I can tell you that God would not bless that at all. And I agree with what you said this morning in Brother Jones' church in Mexico, where they don't quite have the same pay scale as we have. That church gave $70,000, I think it was, to missions. Why would they do that in Mexico? A church give to missions? Because they believe this. They believe this. And I believe if you believe this, you'll give to missions. I really do. You say, well, you're just after our money, and that's all preachers want. Why don't you go fly a kite somewhere and get over it? You don't even need much wind. There'd be enough wind, you know, but anyway. That's not why I'm here, and that's not why the church is here. And we're not trying to get in your pocketbook. We want to tell you something to make you have a blessing and be part of what God is doing. It's not just what the preacher wants. It's what God is doing. Why missions? Because missions is rooted in the Word of God. You cannot read the New Testament or the Old Testament, really, without seeing missions rooted in the Word of God. The Bible is a missionary book. No question about it. It's a missionary book. It is the source of missionary calling and missionary zeal. And all of that is found in God. The entire Bible is about missions. If you really read it and study it, it's about a missionary heart. God had a missionary heart and has a missionary heart. I'm glad that He does. It's about a missionary by the name of Jesus. What a missionary. It's about a mission. What is that mission? The mission is fallen man. Friend, I don't know if anybody's told you or not, but you're a sinner and you've got to be saved. You're fallen. You are a sinner. You say, but I'm pretty good. You're still a sinner. All of us. That's what the Bible declares. We're sinners. Before God ever asked any of you missionaries to be missionaries, before He ever asked me to be a preacher, God sent His Son to be a missionary, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do no less than what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the sense that we have His heartbeat and we care. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And we need to do it every day, all around us, everywhere. But while we're doing it, don't forget the rest of the world. The Old Testament, I believe, was also a missionary book. I said it earlier. I think God taught missions to the Jewish people. The Jewish people, and this is not an anti-Semitic statement, but the Jewish people were people that felt pretty smug because they were God's chosen race. And God said that basically even there that grace and salvation was not just for the Jews. They had a special covenant relationship. They are special people to God. They still are today. But in a sense, they became a little bit, they had a little bit of bigotry in their relationship and who they were. And they thought that God maybe was for them alone. But listen to what the psalmist declares in the Old Testament. Declare his glory among the heathen. Among the heathen. His wonders among all people. That's what we need to do. And that's what he was telling them. We've got to talk about God and let everybody know about Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jonah hated the Ninevites? And yet God sent him to be a missionary to the Ninevites to preach. They had skinned some of his relatives alive. That's how bad these people were, the Assyrians were. And he went to Nineveh, the capital. And he had to go there because God had called him and preached to them repentance and salvation as a missionary to a people who were not Jewish people. Joseph was sent to Egypt. That was not his people or his country, but God used him in many ways to the Jews, of course, but still to preach the truth. Esther was there under the reign of Ahasuerus or Xerxes, who was the Persian monarch. Mordecai and Haman, you know the story of all of that. But all of that is replete and saturated with salvation. Daniel, in God's providence, was taken to Babylon and among the Babylonians declared the glory of God. Missionaries, even in the Old Testament. The New Testament, we have missionaries. From Matthew to Revelation, we have a panorama of missions. All the way through the whole New Testament, it has a lot to do with missions. And you have in the Gospels, God gave us what we call the Great Commission. Who gave that? Not the Independent Baptist Fellowship. Not me. Not anybody else. Not any great religious leader as far as a religious leader. But God is the one who gave the Great Commission, and the Gospels carry that Great Commission. Right up front, right in the beginning, the Great Commission. You go to the book of Acts, and what do you have? The early church. I believe it was already in existence when they were in the upper room. Amen? Yeah. Two or three of you theology students ought to say amen, you know. And then they were empowered on the day of Pentecost to do what? And then they got busy with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The early church was obedient to missions. Now God had to shake them up a little bit in Jerusalem, but still they were obedient to the Great Commission. And then you have the epistles. Well, what are the epistles? They are stories of churches that were founded by missionary endeavor. The church at Ephesus, whatever church it might be. These were churches that were founded by missionary endeavor. So you have the early church going out and doing that. Churches formed, churches planted by missions. And some of the greatest we remember are Paul and Silas and Barnabas and others who went out and they, as they were commissioned by God in the local church to go out and preach missions. Angels announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that was a missionary message? The announcement of the birth of Christ was a missionary message. Listen at it. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all nations, all people. All people. That's a missionary statement. And so even in the announcing of that, we have missions. The first convert, Andrew, was a missionary as he went forth. And then Peter and Andrew, being faithful to what he knew was true in his heart, shared the gospel. I think that witnessing ought to be an automatic reflex for someone who is saved. Amen. You say, but I'm bashful. You got saved, didn't you? Don't you know what a great thing God's done for you? Don't you realize how marvelous it is that you're born again? Can't you tell somebody about that? Even if you're bashful. I know a lot of bashful people can talk about a lot of things if you get on their subject. So add one to it. No matter who we are, I'm simply saying, listen, by nature, I am not a forward, outgoing individual. But by the grace of God, I do know how I got saved. I do know what it's about. And I am able and willing to tell others about Jesus Christ. And it's not always easy, but it's always right. And it's always fulfilling what God says we ought to do. Christ's first command after his resurrection was a missionary command. What did he say? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The early church, the early Christians, what Christ told them to do. And Christ's last message was a missionary message. A missionary message. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. We cannot stop in our Jerusalem. You've heard that 1,000 times, but it's true. We cannot stop in our Jerusalem. Would to God we had more that would start in our Jerusalem. The problem, I don't think so much is getting them stopped in Jerusalem. It's the fact that nobody really gets started in Jerusalem like they should. But we need to work on that. Everybody has to work on that. And I think if we were doing that, we'd have more out on soul winning visitation and more training for that and all of those things. But you don't have to just do it on Saturday morning. You can do it anywhere, anytime, wherever you are at work. One of our men called me this week. He said, my boss just found out he has cancer. And it looks like probably he's not going to make it. And he was concerned about him and wanted to know how to approach him, what to say to him, and put him on the prayer list and for us to join together to pray. You can do that, amen? That's soul winning. Doesn't have to be just at 10 to 12 o'clock on Saturday. It wouldn't hurt for that to be, but it doesn't just have to be that time. We need to tell people about Christ everywhere we are. If you work at General Motors, tell them about Christ out there. If you work at Lockheed, tell them out there. If you work at the hospital, tell them there. Wherever you are, if you work at the funeral home, be sure and tell them there. Amen? Tell them about Jesus. You say, preacher, that's just a bunch of hype. Oh, no, it isn't. It's real. Hell is real. They're dying. They're lost. They need Christ. We need to have a good testimony and be able to speak up for Christ. It's a part of God's word. Then I believe it is the church's responsibility. Sometimes I think the church needs to rediscover its purpose. Sometimes I think we think that the purpose of our church is to make a nice little club where we go to the fellowship hall and eat a lot all the time. Didn't like that much, did you? We need to rediscover what a church is and what our purpose is. And what we should do is nothing wrong with fellowship, nothing wrong with eating in the right way, in the right amount, and so on and so forth. But I can tell you that the purpose of our church is not to have a little close-knit country club where we all get along and we have our certain few friends and we're happy and smug and we come to church and we enjoy that and then we go home and don't do much about telling people about Jesus. We can't just be a Christian country club. We've got to be more than that. Rediscover our purpose. We are a society not just of people, but of redeemed people. There is a difference. If you just want a society of people, go join the Kiwanis Club. And they do some good things. I was a member of the Kiwanis Club one time, and they did some good things. But that is not, and I can tell you a lot of those guys were not redeemed. Believe me, they were not. But I worked on some of them. But we're not a society of those. We're a society of redeemed people. We worship God together. We have strong corporate worship, and that's good. All of that's good. We fellowship together, and that's good. But we are to be committed to the salvation of all men. We are to be committed to the salvation of all men. Amen. And we are to be missionaries ourselves, no matter who we are. Now, I again say that the church can get weak and be isolationist. The world is the field. We cannot forget that. And God said to go to the uttermost part of the earth. There's no place that God does not see. If we could go up above and go around like the astronauts do, we might get a little perception of what God sees. And God is omniscient. He sees it all. He sees the whole world. He's not just looking down here at America. He sees the whole world. Really, He does. And He wants people in the whole world to be saved. And we're to reach the heathen. You know, there's some local heathen that have PhDs. Amen. They have a lot of book learning, but they don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Christ, you're a heathen. I don't care if you wear a Hickey Freeman suit and have a PhD. You're still a heathen. You need Christ. They need Christ. People all around need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to tell them about Christ. But they are foreign heathen too. And those people over there need it. The 1040 window, how they need that. The places where they don't have a Bible. They don't even have a Bible. Brother Bill Patterson is working in that area. And he is here on furlough now for a year and then be going back to Mongolia, he and his family. And right now, while he is here, he's working on translations, trying to get the Bible in the language of some people who don't even have a Bible. They don't even have a Bible. Can we fathom that? I don't know if we can or not. They don't have one Bible. They don't have the Bible in their language. And the missionaries that are there to work with them don't have a Bible to give to them, to teach from or whatever. They are just translating parts of it. But we need to reach those people. And we need to go out to where they are, whether it's the African bush or wherever it may be. It may be England, where they're very intellectual. It may be France. My wife and I were in France, spent about almost 2 weeks over there. They're very, very intellectual, very proper. I love their food there. They're great bread and pastries and all of that. But they really don't know a whole lot about the Lord. It is an open mission field, just like England. Just like I'm saying about, you heard the missionary, if you were in one of the seminars about the cross, and they were talking about some of those crosses and said he was trying to open the door to get in a conversation to witness to them and ask about the crosses. And she said, yeah, and we've got some more back there with a little man on it. Huh. Talking about a crucifix. She didn't even know who it was. Didn't even know it was Jesus. That's in England. In France, there's so much like that. I preached at a church in France, a number of churches, and helped missionaries. We went down to Bayeux where the Normandy invasion took place to kick off and pray with him about starting a work there, and he did start a church there. But when I was preaching at that church, I never forget afterwards, a young man, a university student, came up with his mother, and the pastor sort of introduced me to them. They had never been in church before. I don't think his mother might have been. But he looked at me and he said, you know, and I just preached the gospel. He said, you know, that was very interesting. He said, I've never heard that before. A university student. I've never heard that before. He had never heard about Jesus Christ. That's the way they are. They need the Lord. They're heathen all around us. They need Jesus Christ. And so we have to be careful about compartmentalism and just laying it all at the feet of the clergy or just our church. We've got to reach out and understand that we have a great responsibility around the world. Around the world. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why that Christians need to be taught that every Christian, every born-again believer needs to support God's work. Every born-again believer needs to give to missions by faith. By faith. I like what Brother Jones said in our Sunday school class, little as much when God is in it. You may not be able to give like some people in the church give, But whatever you give, if we all do our part, if we all have a part of it, we can help fund these missionaries that are crying out for. I have a stack that high, honestly, literally, and the secretaries know that's true, on my desk, and the staff, of missionaries that would go to the field and get there as quickly as they could. They just need money. And I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm just trying to say, if you're not giving to missions, you need to give to missions. You need to be giving. Start out with your tithe and add some to that by faith, and it'll excite you what God will do. That's why if we really believe that the world is lost and that they need a Savior and that they got to hear in order to be saved and that they are responsible, and if they die that way, they're going to go to hell, then we'll be moved to give, to support. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. How long has it been since you prayed and asked God to call some missionaries out of our church? Do you do that with regularity? If not, put it on your prayer list. There's a great need out there. The fields are white unto harvest. They really are. And we need some people, some young couples, and anybody that wants to go. There's something for everybody if you're willing to go. There's something you can do. I don't care how old you are. There's something you can do. All need to pray, and we need to be willing to do God's will. And we are, I think, obligated to be witnesses for the glory of God. What are the church's responsibilities? Money is always part of it. People don't like to hear about that. Money is part of it. Even in times when the economy is tight, we go ahead by faith, increase our giving a little bit so that God can bless us, and He will do it. That is not the same as this ridiculous prosperity theology. That's just the principle of the Word of God, that if you'll put Him first in your giving and give something by faith, He will honor that faith, and He will give back to you good measure, pressed down, running over. Amen. Isn't that in the Bible? Amen. It's there. And it works if you've ever practiced it. We need to give the money. We need to furnish the personnel. Surrender. Some of you need to surrender to the mission field. And I hope you will. I gladly give up good, godly tithing members if God speaks to them and says, I believe God's called me to go to the mission field. And I'll do anything I can do to help young people if God calls them to go to the mission field, to see that somehow, some way, they get their proper training and they get over there and they do what God calls them to do, to serve the Lord on the mission field. The greatest missionary ever, the greatest personality, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came the greatest distance, had the greatest task, and did the greatest good. That was Jesus when He died on the cross for our sins. And He said, let this same mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Jesus had a missionary mind. And He left His home in heaven and came to a stinking, rotten foreign land to die on the cross for our sins. God, help us to see those people in hell today as they are crying out in the confines of hell. Never. Never. Do you really believe that? Do we really believe that? Never, 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 never getting out of hell. There forever. You say, I just don't believe God would do that. Listen. Don't blame God. God's given the opportunity. But He does say something in the Old Testament about if we're not careful, their blood will He require at our hands. I don't know what all that means, but I know it means something. I know it means I have a responsibility as a watchman. I have a responsibility as a pastor to say that, folks, we need to take this thing seriously. We need to be shook up, stirred up, moved. Broken. Every Christian about the fact that people die and go to hell. We've got to reach them. We need to live right. We need to witness. We need to be sincere, serious about God's work. And if we do, we'll reach more souls. We'll give more to missions. We'll be able to send and help missionaries accomplish the task. No fooling. This is not pastoral hype. It is not hype from these missionaries that you've heard this week. It's a real deal. It's a real thing. There's a real God. And we're going to stand in His presence one day and give an account for our stewardship. Not to be judged as to whether we go to heaven or hell. That'll be determined before you ever get up there. You'll either be at the judgment seat of Christ or the white throne judgment, but all believers at the judgment seat of Christ. And again, I don't know what all that means, but I promise you it means something. I know some of what it means. Rewards and the burning up and so on and so forth. But we cannot afford not to be broken and stirred and moved and changed. Not just moved, but changed to get the job done for God. It's a real thing, folks. It's the real deal. Let's stand, please. If you're here without Christ, by that I mean if you're not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven today. Boy, girl, man, or woman, listen, come to Christ. Don't die without Jesus. Take the opportunity while you have it and be saved. Teenager, get saved today if you're not saved. Mother, daddy, a couple, take your wife's hand. Dad, and you step down here and come and be saved, you and your wife, whatever. May God help you. If God's calling you to the mission field, don't worry about what if, what if, what if, what if. Just say, yes, I'll go, God. Yes, I'll go. I'll go. May you ask God to touch you and break your heart. You say, I just don't know what preacher's talking about. I don't get that upset about it. Well, dear friend, it's not the word upset. It's broken. It's concern. I might even come to the altar and say, God, I need to get concerned. And ask God to help you get concerned. Whatever we can do, whatever the need is, God wants us to do it for His glory. Father, oh God, help us to realize the seriousness of being a Christian. The responsibilities we have, the great privileges we have. Oh God, help us to be missions minded. Help us to be broken hearted for lost people. People that we may never see this side of heaven. Help us to give by faith. Help us to understand what it's all about. Help us to be good missionaries right here at home. To be faithful to tell others about Christ. To come out of our shell, to come out of our bashfulness, to come out of our pride, and to be witnesses. God, speak to us. Break our hearts as only You can. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.